You're turning to Galatians 2. Sue and I recently got smartphones. We finally figured out while everybody's walking around looking down at, trying to figure out how they work. Okay. A couple of weeks ago, or maybe a month ago, maybe 6 weeks ago, when we started on a Friday night doing a series of studies about Luke, and we brought at the beginning, we started in the end where Luke was with Paul at the end of his ministry, and when we went back to find out when he joined up with Paul and where he joined up with Paul, and found out it was most likely at Antioch in Syria. And then we started, when we started doing the Sunday school on Sundays, back in Acts, the sixth chapter, and connecting the people that were there. Let's go back there for a minute, and you hold your place in Galatians. In Acts 6, there was great growth in Jerusalem at the church, and they chose seven men to help out in the ministry of the Grecian widows, and these men were full of the Holy Ghost, honest men of good report, and these seven men are listed in Acts 6, 5, and these are men we know nothing about without Luke telling us. And Stephen, we find his name seven times in Scripture. He was a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. The story of Stephen continues on in Acts chapter 6 and Acts chapter 7. You find Philip. He's later called Philip the Evangelist. His story is told here in Acts 6 right here, and in Acts 8, and in Acts 21. We'll read about him again. And then there's five guys whose names are not mentioned only but this one time. Porcaris, Nicor, Timon, Parmenes, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. That Antioch is Antioch, Syria. Do you think Luke knew this Nicholas guy? I think he did, and we'll see that. And we're trying to bring the story back to Antioch, but we were still in the middle of discussing Philip, whose name is found 16 times in Scripture. This particular Philip, and he was, of course, one of the seven found mentioned here in Acts 6, 5, which reference we'll see in a little bit again. And so he, Philip, became acquainted with the Apostle Paul. We're trying to determine when and how this was. And you got to realize that Stephen and Philip and these men were working together there in Jerusalem. When Saul of Tarsus was on a rampage and a terrorist and was there at the stoning of Stephen. Now, how would you feel if one of your best friends was stoned to death and you later had an opportunity to meet the guy who was there? What would you do? It's an opportunity to be an overcomer. And that's why we're looking a little bit about Philip. Because we cannot find anything in Scripture wrong with Stephen or Philip. Now, I'm sure they weren't perfect, but we're not shown that they're not, you know. So, well, going back to Galatians chapter 2, where we left off last week, we find then in Galatians 2, I'll read 9 and 10, and it speaks there, this is Paul in Galatians 2, 1, 14 years after he'd been to Jerusalem previously. He went back to Jerusalem with Barnabas and Titus. This story is also recorded in Acts 15. And it says in verse 9 and 10, this is Paul, and he's telling about James and Cephas and John there in Jerusalem, who seemed to be pillars, received the grace that was given unto me at this conference of Acts 15, and they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen. That you can change that to Gentiles if you want. And they to the circumcision, that means the Jews. Only their request they would that we should remember the poor. The poor what? The poor saints at Jerusalem. And Paul writes, the same which I was forward to do. And so now, this conference that we just referenced that occurred in Jerusalem in Acts 15 and in Galatians 2, according to Conybeare and Howson, occurred in 50 AD. And Paul and his company, let me go back there so it makes sense. In Acts 21, Paul's on his final missionary journey going back to Jerusalem. He didn't know it was his last missionary journey, of course. But in verse 8 of Acts 21, we read, and the next day, we that were of Paul's company, and to see who that was, we'll get to this in a little bit, you go back to Acts 20. There were actually 9 guys in Paul's company, including Paul, Luke, and the 7 mentioned in Acts 20, verse 4. The next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the 7 that we read about in Acts 6, 5, and abode with him. He took in all 9 guys, and they stayed with him. Think about that for a moment. And the same man had 4 daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, we'll stop there. So we go back to where we finished off last week about this conference that was held in Galatians 2, how that Paul was requested Peter, James, and John there in Jerusalem to not forget the poor saints of Jerusalem. And now we find Paul and his company arriving at the house of Philip the evangelist here in 58 AD, some 8 years after this conference. And this was just a few short days before Paul was arrested in Jerusalem. So this would again then be the last time Paul would visit Jerusalem. And Paul and his company of travelers were carrying with them a rather large sum of money, of collection, for the poor saints at Jerusalem. And Paul had even written about this by this time. Now let me just refresh your memories, because it's kind of hard to keep up with all this. But by the time that Paul had got to the house of Philip the evangelist, there in Acts 21, he had written 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, the book of Galatians, and most recently, Romans. And we just read there in Galatians 2, 9, and 10, when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that we should go to the heathen, and they to the circumcision, only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I was forward to do. Turn to 1 Corinthians 16 for a moment, and we'll find Paul referencing this same thing, that he was taking up a collection for the poor saints at Jerusalem. That's 1 Corinthians 16. verses 1 through 4. And Paul writes there, "Now concerning the collection for the saints." That's what he's talking about, the ones there in Jerusalem. "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye, upon the first day of the week, every one of you lay by him in store, as God had prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality into Jerusalem. And if it be meet or fit that I go also, they shall go with me." See why Paul had such a large group of guys traveling with him here now in Acts 21. You can study on your own. 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. And it also has a discussion about the same topic also. And let's go to Romans 15. This was the most recent epistle Paul had written before he had departed towards Jerusalem at the conclusion of his third missionary journey. And in Romans 15, 25 and 26, Paul makes known the thoughts of his heart, what he was doing at this time. And he said in Romans 15, 25, "But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints there at Jerusalem. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem." That's pretty plain what he was doing, right? And then let's go to Acts 24, and we'll find one more reference to this. And this is after the fact. in this portion, we'll find Paul telling Governor Felix what his thinking was, why it was that he was at Jerusalem in the first place when he got arrested. We'll start in Acts 24, 17. And here Paul is presenting his own defense before the governor Felix. This is within a couple of weeks after his arrest in Jerusalem. And this is Paul's own words starting in Acts 24, 17, where he tells the governor, "Now after many years, I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings." And of course, when he hit the word offerings, Felix's ears perked up. And we read in Acts 24, 26, that Felix hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, you know, as a bribe, that he might loose him from jail, you know. That was the kind of guy Felix was. Kind of gives you an idea of how the politicians work. Okay. So the point in reviewing all of this is to show that one of the main reasons that Paul wished to go to Jerusalem at the end of his third missionary journey was to fulfill the promise that Paul had made to Peter, James, and John there in Galatians 2:10. We're going to pull all this together, start to anyway, as we're still studying about Luke. But Luke, you know, he fits in this program here. And we're also studying about Philip. And then we'll finish, perhaps, the discussion about Philip today. And so we'll see again how these men traveling with Paul ended up at the house of Philip the evangelist there in Acts 21:8. So go back to Acts 20, verse 2, and you'll find that Paul was in Greece, and Corinth was in Greece, as Paul begins to conclude his third missionary journey. And this is where Paul was, as we read from Acts 20, verse 3. and there abode 3 months, Paul. And when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to set sail into Syria. Last week we discussed why he went to Syria. The reason was because the church in Antioch, Syria, was the church that was his home church, really, as an apostle. They were the ones that sponsored all his missionary journeys. As he went about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia, and there accompanied him into Asia Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus, that's Timothy, and of Asia Tychicus and Trophimus. These going before tarried for us at Troas. And again, we might have mentioned this last time, but in Connie Bear and Housen's book on the life and epistles of the Apostle Paul, they note that the order in which these seven disciples are mentioned by Luke may indicate the last minute change in plans that the apostle had, Paul had to make after he found out about the plot to kill him there at Corinth. You know, Paul wrote a lot of things that he intended to do, but he also put in there, if the Lord wills, Lord willing. And Brother Hill always emphasized that to us. We'll see you tonight, Brother Hill. Lord willing, you know how he'd say it, you know. Or we'll see you on Wednesday night, or we'll do this, Lord willing, you know. So that's the way we got to think, and that's the way we should think. And so Paul made his request made known, but Lord willing. So Connie Baron Housen speculate that Paul left Corinth sooner than he intended to, even before all the arrangements were complete for the collection for the poor saints at Jerusalem. Thus, they surmised that Sopater was sent to Berea to gather the funds from the Bereans, and that Aristarchus and Secundus were sent to finish the collection from the Thessalonians. And those in Thessalonica. Meanwhile, Paul went up to Philippi, where once again he met up with Luke. The last time we read of Luke, he didn't really write his name in the book of Acts, but he did write we and us a lot. Well, the last time he read of we and us, Luke was with Paul in Philippi, and that's where he was at the end of Acts 16. As for Timothy and Gaius of Derbe, and the Ephesians, Tychicus and Trophimus, it appears that they went unto Asia to finish gathering the collection from those of Asia for the poor saints at Jerusalem. That's Paul's Asia, which would include the cities of Ephesus, Colossae, and so forth. All of these seven were instructed to wait for Paul at Troas, which they did. And so we then find nine men at least, including Paul and Luke, sailing with Paul as he set sail for Syria, as noted in Acts 20, verse 3. Then, if you're still in Acts 20, go back there, in Acts 20, verse 16, we read a very enlightening statement. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus, because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hasted, if possible for him, to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. And I want you to keep that thought in the back of your mind, that Paul wanted to be at Jerusalem if he could be there, by the day of Pentecost. Lord willing, of course, okay? And then keep somewhere in the back of your mind that Paul and these eight that were traveling with him had a very large collection of money for the poor saints at Jerusalem, which we just read about, which would be delivered to the apostles there at Jerusalem for distribution. And go back for a minute. This will make sense if we read Acts 4:35. And this was still going on at this time that Paul was bringing this collection. But in Acts 4:35, we are informed that such funds that were collected were laid down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need, to those poor saints at Jerusalem. And again, one of the things that you want to make note of also as you read all this is what is said in Acts 8:1, that the apostles, the 12 apostles, the followers of Jesus, resided in Jerusalem this whole time. Acts 8:1, I had you turn there. After the death of Stephen, we find Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Underline that. Remember that. The apostles didn't scatter, but a lot of them did. But the apostles stayed there in Jerusalem. Now, the seven men of Acts 6:5 seems like they scattered, because we find Philip in Samaria in Acts chapter 8. And so back to Acts 20, verse 16, or in this 20th chapter, Paul's traveling plans were to be in Jerusalem for the celebration of Pentecost that year, which that year would have been 58 AD, according to Connie Barenhausen. Now, let's consider how this could be possible for the Apostle Paul to reach Jerusalem with his boatload of money as he was that he was taken to the poor saints of Jerusalem, and how it was possible for him to arrive there before the day of Pentecost. There are 50 days between Passover and Pentecost. The days of unleavened bread succeeded the Passover, and we find the Apostle Paul staying at Philippi at least 7 days after the Passover in Acts 20, verse 6. In Acts 20, verse 6, we also find that Paul and Luke spent 5 days on the passage to Troas. So 12 days out of the 50 have passed so far, the 50 days that would take for Pentecost. 7 more days were spent at Troas, and 4 more days were occupied on the voyage from Chios to Miletus in verses 13 through 15 of Acts 20. This brings to 23 days accounted for up to the point in time of Acts 20, verse 16. 2 to 4 days were spent at Miletus, making the total now as long as 27 days since Passover. From Miletus, in 3 days, Paul went from Cus to Rhodes and Patraea in Acts 21, 1. 2 more days then would suffice for the voyage to Tyre in Acts 21, verses 2 and 3. That's 32 days from Passover. And in Acts 21, 4, we find Paul at Tyre for 7 days, making it 39 days since Passover. Acts 21, 7 indicates that 1 day was spent in Ptolemais, making it 40 days since Passover. And the next day they came to Caesarea and spent many days at the house of Philip the evangelist. So when they get there, they got at least 10 days before Passover. And from Caesarea, it was about a day's journey to Jerusalem. So it was easy to see that Paul could have very easily been in Jerusalem by the day of Pentecost, and he probably arrived there 2 or 3 days before Pentecost. So this brings us back to Acts 21, 8 and through 10 to Philip the evangelist. And it says there, "And the next day we that were of Paul's company departed and came to Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. The same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy, and as we tarried there many days." And so we previously asked the question and been trying to answer it for 2 weeks here. How is it that Paul and his company came to the house of Philip the evangelist? Did Paul already know Philip the evangelist, or did someone else in his company know Philip? And we've looked at several clues that Luke left us about who in this group of nine men, the seven plus Luke and Paul, might have known Philip the evangelist prior to this visit. And there's only one man of these nine whom Luke records of having been in Caesarea previously, where Philip the evangelist lived. And that man was Paul. So, we last time mentioned at the conclusion of his second missionary journey in Acts 18:22, that Paul passed through Caesarea, but Luke doesn't record anything about Paul seeing Philip at that time. Perhaps he did, but he's not recorded that that's where he met him or anything. But there's an earlier time, and we'll go back to Acts chapter 9, when Paul was also in Caesarea that we know of, and this is after he got saved. And so, those of you very familiar with your Bibles, which I think you all are, know that Acts chapter 9 is the first, is the record of where the conversion of Saul of Tarsus is recorded. And Saul of Tarsus, who is our Apostle Paul, also first preached in Damascus, which is recorded in the ninth chapter of Acts. And let's read these verses, because Luke recorded this for us. And it says, and this is right after he got saved, in Acts 9:20, "And straightway he, Saul of Tarsus, preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest?" In other words, this must be some kind of trick. He's trying to arrest some more of us. You know, they didn't really believe that he was saved. And it says in verse 22, "But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ." Now, it's not obvious from reading casually Acts the chapter 9 that there's a 3-year gap between Acts 9:22 and Acts 9:23. But there is. And Paul fills this gap in for us. And I want you to stay in Acts 9, but I want you to go back to Galatians 1. Galatians 1 is where Paul fills in this gap. And then I know some of you know this and some of you haven't heard this for a while. For some of you, this might be new information. But this is what we do when we study the scriptures and put everything together so it starts making a little more sense. And we'll start reading in Galatians 1:11. And Paul says there, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation or my manner of life in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many mine equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, among the Gentiles, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. And this wasn't a two-week vacation. He reads, it says in verse 18, then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Now, between Acts 9:22 and 9:23, these 3 years took place. And then Paul returned from Arabia back to Damascus. And then it says in Acts 9:23, and after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down by the wall in a basket. Now, the many days of Acts 9:23 are the 3 years of Galatians 1:18. Make a note of that somewhere. And also in 2 Corinthians 11:32 and 33, you don't need to turn there, but Paul there also writes of his escaping Damascus. And of course, he never went back to Damascus after he escaped. Why would you? They were going to kill him when he got there, you know. So 2 Corinthians 11:32 and 33 says, in Damascus, the governor under Aretas the king kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands, as was recorded there in Acts 9. Now in Acts 9:26, we find out what happens next. He escaped Damascus, and it says, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. Well, duh, why wouldn't they be? He was the one that caused them to scatter all over to begin with, and now he's back. And they believed not that he was a disciple. Now, Saul of Tarsus was famous, especially in Jerusalem, but he was famous as a terrorist. He wasn't famous as a Christian. He was a mighty persecutor of Christians, and that's how they remembered him. Then in Acts 22:4, we read the Apostle Paul, in his own words, describing his actions at that time in his life. And let's go back there to Acts 22, verse 4. And he says, and I persecuted unto this way unto death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. So no wonder then, when we get to Acts 9:26, where we were, after these 3+ years where he was gone and had went from Damascus out to Arabia, back to Damascus, and then now he's down in Jerusalem, they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. And we can very much appreciate why this was. Then let's read what it says in Acts 9:27. And 28 of what happened next. But Barnabas took him in, and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how that he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how that he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. He's talking about Saul of Tarsus here. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. That's a real quick statement saying he was with them, but it wasn't all of Jerusalem that received Saul of Tarsus with open arms, because we just read who did. It was according to Galatians 1:18. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. So there's three guys, Barnabas, Peter, and James, the Lord's brother, that was Saul of Tarsus was with, coming in and going out at Jerusalem. It's not very many. Acts 9:29. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Verse 30, which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Obviously, we ran out of time. We'll finish this story, Lord willing, next week.